All right, beloved, go ahead and take your Bibles now and turn into Revelation chapter 14. Tonight we're going to look at verses 9 through 11. Now, don't get used to these 15 and 20 and 25 minute lessons. We're just trying to give you the basic high points of each one. So this is lesson 133, the judgment upon the mark wearers. All right, let's notice now, you don't have to stand or read aloud verse 9 of chapter 14. He says, "And the angel and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb." Verse 11. "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for our revival services thus far. We ask now that you'll open our hearts and our mind, not only now during our revelation study, but also, Father, during the furtherance of the services to come tonight. Father, we pray that you will move and have your will and your way be done, and let your people have true revival. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last night we saw some details about the judgment upon Babylon. Tonight we will see the judgment upon those that will wear proudly the mark of the beast. All right, let's start off here back in verse 9. It says, "And the third angel," this is the third in this sequence, not counting from Revelation 8:13. If it were from that verse, obviously it'd be the fourth. So again, this is another supernatural creature. He said, "Followed them." This third angel is following the previous angels in the same way and manner. He says, next point, "saying with a loud voice," he hollers the message out so the world can hear. And what does he say? "If any man," that is anyone among mankind, "worship the beast," that is, gives homage and worship and reverence to the Antichrist, "and his image," or worship the image, that is the living statue. Yes, it's going to actually be alive. The living statue of the Antichrist. And then he says, "and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand." So this is saying receive the mark of the beast in the forehead or hand. So there is a judgment coming upon those within these three categories. He says next in verse 10, "the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." Now, we will recall last night when we studied about the judgment of Babylon, the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, here, this is the wine of the wrath of God. So, this section makes it crystal clear that no one, beloved, can assume a neutral position during this intense period under the beast. I mean, even today, we see Christian businessmen who are capitulating to the ethics of the hour. In chapter 13, we saw that the awful alternative for refusing to receive the mark of the beast is decapitation and starvation. On the other hand, the person who received the mark will bring down upon his head the wrath of an almighty holy God. So the one that has compromised with the world is at enmity with God, not only now, but also during that time, during the tribulation. Though, of course, you know and I know that right now we live in the age of grace, and it is far easier then to repent and come back or bounce back to the Lord. However, the wrath of God is already abiding upon those that are lost, and during the time of the tribulation, they cannot so easily bounce back, because once you take that mark, you have sworn your allegiance to the Antichrist, and there is no hope for you after that. All right, it says here that the wine of the wrath of God, next point, which is poured out without mixture. In other words, it ain't watered down. It's 100% proof. It's 100% pure strength. And where is it poured? Into the cup of his indignation. Now, indignation refers to anger or extreme anger, and that is mingled with contempt, disgust, or abhorrence. So this cup, beloved, seems to be alluded to in Genesis 15:16. Also, remember, Jesus asked the Father in Luke 22:42 if he could have the cup removed. Now, remember, that cup referred to the crucifixion. And that contained the wine of the wrath of God. So no, it's not the Holy Grail from Indiana Jones' Last Crusade. Next point, we're going to cover a lot here. It says, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now this does not mean that these will be tormented in... Now hold on, make sure you get everything of what I'm going to say. It's not saying that they will be tormented in perpetuity in the presence of the Lamb and the angel. I didn't say that this is not saying that they're not going to be suffering or tormented forever. They will be. But they're not going to be forever in our view. This points to the scene at the great white throne judgment. Now some people, they get this idea about hell and the lake of fire. They get this idea that they're one and the same. They're not. Let me give you some references here to the lake of fire. In Isaiah 33:14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? All right, Matthew 18:8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And then Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Now observe in Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with them the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Look at chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And now look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 through 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And finally, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So you see there, very plainly, the Bible speaks of an everlasting fire, a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And as you saw, that is not the same thing, according to Revelation 14, chapter 20, verse 14. That's not the same thing as hell. Hell is in the center of the earth. And hell one day, according to the Bible, will be cast into the lake of fire. All right, just so we clear that up. You do not want to go to hell. You do not want to go to the lake of fire. You want to make sure that you are saved. So if you hear this and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I beg of you, trust Him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Call upon the Jesus of the Bible. Don't call upon the Islamic Jesus, Issa. Don't call upon the Mormon Jesus. Don't call upon the Jehovah's Witness Jesus. Don't call upon the Catholic Jesus. Call upon the Jesus of the Holy Bible. The King James Bible shows you who He is. He is God forevermore. And He is God that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is God who knew no sin. And yet He is the God that went upon the cross on Calvary in human form, 100% God, 100% man, and there God the Father poured out upon Him all the sins of the whole world, that He might be judged for our sin, that He may pay the price of the penalty for our sin, and that He could receive the judgment upon the cross for our sin. And once the judgment was done, He said, "It is finished." And then He dismissed His spirit, and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He physically and spiritually died upon that cross, but yet 3 days later, He arose bodily, soulishly, and spiritually from the dead, and He is alive now forevermore. 40 days after His resurrection, He ascended back into heaven, and now He is merely awaiting the commandment of His Father to go bring His children home in the event that we all call the rapture. So, beloved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. and thou shalt be saved. Tell him that you believe in him today. If God is dealing with your heart, you have no excuse, for you have heard. Now, our next and final points. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. That is, the smoke of their torment indicates that they are literally burning. Notice forever and ever, which indicates eternality. It says here, and they have no rest day nor night. Now, no rest. Can you imagine eternal torment? Some think that after some sins have been burned off, then the damned will go to heaven. Wrong, 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 wrong. You must understand, beloved, that there is no such thing as purgatory. You don't get prayed out of hell. You don't get paid out of hell. You go to hell and you're there until the great white throne judgment, and then you are cast alive into the lake of fire. So these people, they are cast into the lake of fire. They are burning. They have no rest day nor night. And he says, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now the occurrences of this message at this point in the chronology of the revelation presents to some a problem. This has led some to conclude that the material in Revelation 14 occurs before or during the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. After all, they reason, it would make no sense to give this warning after the majority of the world has already taken the mark or worshiped the beast and his image. However, this view, beloved, fails to appreciate the fact that this is directed to the saints and not the wicked. This point will be made more forcefully in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. And we will see that next time we get into our study of the book of Revelation. Now, beloved, that wraps up our studies. Again, I told you, don't get used to these short lessons. We're doing that out of respect for the time involved in our revival. And so tonight, let's bow our heads, we'll close our eyes, and we will go on out and get ready for our night of revival. Remember, it does not have to end. It can continue on. Of course, Brother Paul, Sister Lori will be gone back to Louisiana, but we ourselves, we can still continue the move of God amongst us. And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes.